Our scripture reading, we've got two this morning. The first will be Matthew chapter 21, and then we'll do Romans 15. Matthew 21, we'll do first. It's on page 826 of your pew Bible. We'll read the first 11 verses of the 21st chapter of Matthew. Hear now the word of the Lord. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. And they brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks and sat on them. And most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." And now from the 15th chapter of the book of Romans, that's on page 949 in your pew Bible. We'll read the first 7 verses. The sermon will come primarily from verse 4. From the 15th chapter of the book of Romans, verse 1. "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'The reproaches of those who approached you fell on me.' For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Thus we've read verses 1 through 7, Romans 15. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, we thank you for your holy word that you have given to us to instruct us, to teach us, to correct us, to rebuke us, and train us in righteousness. We ask that you would do that this morning through your word and through the power of the Spirit, that you'd be with the proclamation of your word, that it would glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the beginning of the time where the world remembers the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Coming up on Good Friday, where we'll have a service here. And next week, we'll remember His resurrection. And this is the week where Jesus entered Jerusalem, as we read in Matthew 21. As we saw in Matthew 21, even Jesus, as He enters Jerusalem, is fulfilling the Scriptures, fulfilling a prophecy from Zechariah 9. And as He went on about the week, and as He had done His entire ministry long, He's fulfilling prophecy after prophecy after prophecy, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, making the lame walk. Even as He hangs on the cross, He's quoting Scripture, fulfilling prophecy of things like Isaiah 53 about the suffering servant. And He dies and rises again, again fulfilling prophecy that the Holy One wouldn't see corruption. Yet despite fulfilling all of these Scriptures, many missed it. They couldn't see that Jesus was the Christ. Even those who were standing there sounding Hosanna were only saying it's the prophet Jesus, not the Christ. And Paul here in Romans 15 gives us an important point about the Scriptures. In verse 4, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. A truth about the Scriptures. And that they're ultimately written to instruct us, to point us to Jesus, to give us hope. They were written for our instruction. And that means even in the former days, even in the Old Testament, Paul is saying the Old Testament is written down so that we as believers in Christ might be instructed and taught. It's not simply history, although it is unerring and infallible history. But it's not primarily just a history book. It wasn't simply for the contemporaries, although it surely was for them too. It's written for all generations in the future to derive the instruction of God from it. It just means that the historical books of the Old Testament, like Genesis and Exodus, it means the wisdom literature like Psalms and Proverbs, it means the major prophets of Daniel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Ezekiel, it means the minor prophets like Jonah and Obadiah and Amos. We're to be instructed from all of them. That we're to be able to read places like Zechariah 9 and take instruction and see that it's fulfilled by Jesus and be instructed from it. We're to be able to pick up the books of Kings and Chronicles and understand that God had a purpose in recording this. It was so that we would be instructed. Through the power of His Holy Spirit, in reading the Scriptures, we can be instructed. And I think that we have to include the New Testament in Paul's point here as well. They too are Scriptures. They too were written down through the power of the Holy Spirit, inerrant and infallible, and therefore also written for your instruction. Paul probably writes this in the book of Romans in the late 50s, AD 50s. Many New Testament books were already written and in circulation, like Matthew's Gospel, James's letter. Paul's written several of his letters already, including Galatians and including those to the Corinthians. They were written down for the instructions of those who read them and also those who were to come after them in Christ. Paul wants us to see the purpose in writing these Scriptures. It's not some academic exercise, but rather it's a practical one for believers to write these things down so that we might be instructed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Scriptures were written for our instruction. What a beautiful truth. That you can go home and take the Bible off your shelf and know that that Bible was written so that you would be instructed. And yes, I do think God had you in mind when He was inspiring the Scriptures. God's not a man like us. He knew each and every one of us as these things were taking place, as He was inspiring Isaiah. He knew every child of God that would ever be born, including you or me. When He was inspiring Moses, when He was inspiring the prophets, when He was inspiring Matthew, He knew you and me and what we needed. It was written for our instruction. And since both the Old and New Testaments were written for our instruction, it means that if we wish to be taught by God, we can be. All we have to do is pick up His Word and read it. It seems like an obvious point, but it's one that cannot be stressed enough. God has given you and you personally instructions. He's inspired His Word and given you His Holy Spirit. If you would like to learn about God, He's given it to you. His Scriptures are written. And if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, they're written for you. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can receive truth and help. Just take a look at the book of Romans as a whole some point today. Just thumb through it. And see how often it's indented so that you can see that he's quoting from the Old Testament, from the Scriptures that have come before. This book is a practical example of exactly what he means. In verse 4, when he says, For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through the endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Over and over, Paul turns to the Old Testament to prove his point about Jesus Christ, his point about Abraham's faith, his point about your faith, his point about salvation being from God, the predestination of our Lord, even the sinfulness of all man. He turns to the Scriptures to show you again and again and again. And even that glance through the book won't show you all of the times that he references the Old Testament without quoting it directly. You can go all the way back to the very first verses of this book where he says, "I, Paul, a servant of Christ, set apart for the gospel which God promised beforehand." And then what does he do? He begins to teach us from the Old Testament about that gospel that was promised all the way back there. When he says that Jesus was a descendant of David according to the flesh, he gives us pictures from the New Testament when he said Jesus was resurrected, declaring him to be the Christ, and of the coming Spirit who calls us to salvation. Paul uses the Scriptures to show us how they're written for our instruction, how they're written for our encouragement and endurance. Because he says here that it was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of these Scriptures we might have hope. Some translators may speak of patience rather than endurance, depending on what's in front of you. But either way, it's the picture of waiting through trials and hardship. Not just merely waiting, but enduring some sort of hardship. The Scriptures have endured, and they will always endure. As we're told, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of God remains forever. They endure. And they can give us endurance. Since we know that they won't wither, they won't fade, they'll never waver, they'll never change, just like God who never wavers and never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can read His Word and we can take comfort from it, a comfort that transcends whatever trial, whatever changeable circumstance faces us. The Scripture has stood up to all the scrutiny and criticism of all the ages and has emerged triumphant. Therefore, we can grab hold of those promises that endure and know that we will stand up to whatever scrutiny, whatever criticism, whatever trial, whatever hardship we might face, and we too can come out triumphant. It can give us encouragement. And some translations here use consolation, which is a word we don't use as much anymore. And encouragement has sometimes the connotation of sort of cheering on from the sidelines. As we encourage people who play sports, we're up in the stands and the people are down there and we just scream encouragement. That's not what the picture is supposed to be here. This is the picture of someone coming alongside and encouraging, helping out by giving a helping hand. It's that consolation of coming alongside with someone and giving them words of comfort and words of blessing, words of hope during hard times, or even times where there's no signs that any hope could be found. This is the kind of encouragement that is mentioned here. Helping someone to keep going with a newfound strength or a newfound courage. The Scriptures give us this, as they show us time and time again. The Church of God endure hardships. The Church of God endure trials. Even times when it looked like the Church of God was almost about to blink out of existence, or that the promise was threatened. When Abraham goes to Egypt and the promise of the seed is threatened, God is there and He protects. When the people of God are overwhelmed by the Babylonians and the temple of God is ripped down, God is still there and still in control. and when the Son of God Himself hung on a cross and died. It was not outside the hand of God, but all according to His plan and His promise. We can look at these things and take courage, knowing that God is with us, that Jesus has promised, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. No matter what trial, no matter what trouble, no matter what we face, God is with us. And we can go forth with new strength because the Scriptures have taught us. And he goes on to say that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. That's the telos of Scripture. That's the end. That's its goal. The point of reading the Scriptures is ultimately to fill us with hope. Hope in Jesus Christ. Hope of salvation. Hope of resurrection. Hope of life after death in heaven. Hope against the evil of sin. Hope against the temptations of the evil one, Satan himself. Hope in a good God who controls all things. Hope. That's what we should have. When we pick up His Scriptures and we read, when we discover the will of God, we should have hope. After we learn of His great grace that washes away our sin, ought it not give us hope? When we learn that sin and death and Satan have been beaten, it'll give us hope to be able to face it. To face it all in this life in a manner pleasing to our great God in heaven. And that hope is found in faith. Because one must have faith to have hope. Faith in the God of the Scriptures. Because hope is not something that we just get by reading alone. It gets by reading. We get hope by reading with believing. Somebody could pick up the Scriptures and read it and not believe a word of it, and then of course they'd have no hope. But reading in faith gives us hope. Grabbing hold of those promises that we read by faith gives us hope. Think of Hebrews chapter 11, where you get that list of all the great saints who by faith have done all of these things. It starts all the way back with Abel. By faith he offered the better sacrifice. And it goes on through Noah. By faith, believed and built the ark. Moses by faith. Abraham by faith. David by faith. Even the judges by faith. They heard the words. They saw the Scriptures. They took hope. And so too can you. Because it's the same faith that saves. That's ultimately what they're saying. It's that same faith that points us to Jesus Christ. Because faith is never really an end in of itself. Faith is a trust as well as a knowledge, and it's a trust in Christ. Hope then flows from our faith, or perhaps through our faith, because it comes ultimately from Jesus Christ our Lord. After all, who is it that the Scriptures point toward and show us? Is Jesus not the one being revealed to us? Even in those Old Testament Scriptures that were written for our instruction, even those Scriptures and promises like Zechariah 9 that pointed to Jesus coming in on the donkey. We can see the Old Testament saints' hope, which was always in Jesus. We learn of the plan of salvation, which has been Jesus, as first revealed all the way back in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3. It's hope in Christ. So it is for us today as well. We can read the Scriptures and take instruction and gain hope in Jesus. So we can see what Paul teaches us here about the Scriptures should encourage us to do a few things. Primarily, it should make us read the Word. After all, it's written for your instruction. But you can't be instructed by God if you don't ever pick up His Word. You can't just say, the Lord will drop some instruction on my head and somewhere it'll just fall out of the sky and I'll get it. No, He's given you the instruction. The Scriptures are written for your instruction. Don't think you can take instruction from somewhere else. Don't ignore God by ignoring His Word. Read His Word and receive instruction for your soul. And don't just read it like it's any other book, where I'm just trying to get to the end, or I'm just trying to figure out who done it and solved the mystery, and I forget all about it the minute I close the book. This is words from God for you. Read it for that instruction. Read it for what it is, a communication from the Lord God Himself written for you. And as you read it to see Christ. This is what Jesus Himself taught us when He showed the two disciples on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24. All of Scripture speaks to Him. He began at Moses and He went through the prophets and He showed them Jesus. He pointed to Him. When we read this Scripture, which was written for our instruction, it shows us Jesus. And so look for Him. Look for Him on every page. Look for how it points to Jesus. Look for the Savior of your soul, even in the Old Testament. Remember Christ as you see the sacrifices. That's a picture of Jesus. As you read about the temple, that's a picture of Jesus. Or the Sabbath, that's a type of rest you get in Christ. Or the promised seed, that's Jesus. Or the faith of the Old Testament saints in Hebrews 11 teaches us that it's a faith in Jesus. Or as you see prophets like Elijah pray, when he prays a prayer and it doesn't rain for 3.5 years and then he prays another and it rains, James tells you that's the same faith in Jesus that you have. God hears your prayers. See Christ. And then you can have the hope and encouragement that the patriarchs and the prophets had. For you serve and are saved by the same Jesus with the same faith. You can be a friend of God just like Abraham by having his faith. Look for Jesus on every page. And therefore, take hope. Take courage as you read and see that Christ has won the victory. As you read and see that God has always gathered, defended, and preserved His people. In times of plenty, when silver was as nothing in the time of Solomon, and they were riding high and gold was everywhere, He was gathering and defending and preserving His people. Or even when they're in the back streets of Babylon, rejected and despised, forgotten by the world, He was still gathering and defending and preserving His people. When they were scattered and spread abroad throughout all of Persia, He was gathering and defending His people. Take hope. Take courage. Christ is with you. And therefore we can endure. As you read and receive His instructions, know that He's given you promises to help you endure. There will be times where you have to endure. Ephesians talks about times where you have to hide behind the shield of faith as the fiery darts of the evil one are shot at you. There are times where you have to just endure. Pick up the Scriptures and read. Cling to those promises that Christ has said, whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That Christ has said, you're my people. That Christ has said, I will come again. That Christ has said, I'll never depart you even to the end of the age. Grab those promises and endure through whatever God has sent your way. Let us go to Him now in prayer. Gracious Lord in heaven, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word that You have given to us. inspired by Your Spirit, written for our instruction. Lord, help us. Give us endurance. Give us encouragement so that we might live a life that glorifies You. Make us people of the Word, O Lord, that we would read it, that we would turn to it, that it would be our reflex. And Lord, give us hope. Give us hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us see Him in Your Word. Help us see Him every day. Give us hope for what comes next. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.